Well, the one and only, the greatest card effects that Australia's ever produced is back for a new community shout out. How you going, man?
How's it going, Mark? Yeah, pretty good.
Not too bad. That's good. Good. It's good, mate. Yeah. Well, we're going to get to talking a little bit about gene stealers in some way, in some form, in some fashion later on. But before we get there, how about we go through what you've been doing in the hobby, mate? What have you been doing lately since we last talked?
Painting forbidden new things, Legion Imperialis. Which is a 8 millimeter scale epic game that Games Workshop's produced and severely undersupplied the entire world. So I've got some actual plastic models and a lot of prints, just been painting those up. Tried out the game. It's like baby's first epic game. Has none of the soul or cool factions of the original games, obviously. Better off playing like Net Epic Gold or something if you want to get into that without having the original box set stuff. Yeah, and then neglecting to paint other little projects. I've got like Mordheim gangs. I've got like three Mordheim gangs that are at the 80% mark that need to be finished. Just like that total ADHD, like can't stick to one project and finish it kind of thing going on. Should get diagnosed for that one day, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the main things, and just trying to sort out the collection. Like I'm forever repacking things into smaller boxes and smaller compartments and finding out what goes where. I'm sure other people are in the same boat, but then I see some sickos with like really neat painting stations. So obviously I'm probably of the minority maybe of just really
Yeah.
messy paint desks. Yeah.
Yeah, I keep
It's a
my
nightmare.
painting area clean, but all my paints are just stored in a plastic bucket kind of thing, you know, like a drawer.
Yeah.
I found that, you know, paints on my table just didn't work because I'd have to clear the table to do filming or we're going to play a game or, you know, I'd want to clean up and it's just, you know, pots everywhere. And if someone would go to grab one and one would fall over. I've seen some really cool clear acrylic ones where they're just there's no actual holes. It's just like a shelf, and they're sort of, you know, stepped up so that you can just put anything in there. And I think that's a good idea. And it's
I
trans.
use these MDF laser cut organizers, but if I put something into them, then I forget it's there. And
Right.
then if I don't have it in front of me, like it doesn't exist. It's really weird. Yeah, it's probably some sort of weird psychosis thing.
Right. Okay. Well, at least you're getting some hobby done, man. I know you've been working pretty hard, so, and
Yeah,
people
just take
have
some time
been
off
asking
to do
about
it.
you, and like, you know, when's Carnifex coming back for the community shout out? So, of course, we're talking about our Discord and what our wonderful people have been doing there. And if we have time, we'll have a look at the Facebook group as well. But, mate, just take us, let's lead us there to the Discord. What has caught your eye in the last, well, few months, I suppose.
Yeah, lots of amazing things being painted and modeled up by everyone as usual. I don't know if you've had a look through the modeling workshop and every lead bit recently, but the Phoenician or Jimmy, he's been doing some like fantastic oldest, like old school style orc mobs, just being painted in a sort of, I would say, like a more old hammer, darker shaded style. They look fantastic, especially the little shields with like squig faces on them and stuff. All that sort of freehand things that blows my mind, man. I can't do that very well. Princess Tom has been making like terrain for Epic or Legion Imperialis, whichever, doesn't matter. The small little trees and little buildings, they're always cute. I love that sort of stuff. Whiskey and Wizards has been churning out a lot of like really crazy stuff, like heaps of lizard men, and then he jumps like into doing Elder. He's doing like some Elder Knight, which were tiny little like epic titans that Elder had back in the day, like centaurid sort of like weird looking things. Highland Painting did some zombies that look fantastic, and I'm sure you saw Brian, Old Hammer Mad Bri. He did a Minotaur recently. Looks fantastic. Got like
Mm.
a patchwork shirt that is made from his victims
Right.
and stitched together.
Cool.
And I don't know what his full username is, but it's just WA. He made some orc buildings that look really good. Got
Yes, very
checker
nice.
pattern and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those old sort of sand orc buildings. It's not
Yes.
quite Adobe.
They're sort of like modified MDF kits, I think he was saying. Is that right?
Oh, I'm not sure, but they look great.
Right. I think he has bought something as an MDF kit and
Yeah.
modified it to suit him.
Yep.
Like, I think that's a really good idea. I didn't actually know they had things like that, but I suppose the orc buildings are not such a great departure from, like Middle Eastern buildings and like the ancient more medieval world or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
I did buy some that were labeled Afghan
yeah,
buildings or something
that's
like
right.
that, and
Yep.
they're fine, you know. And if you got a bit of balsa wood and stuff, and then you can slap some little balconies and support struts, it'll look great.
It's looking at that sort of thing. Oh man, I should do mine because I found the hole in like they've got the templates in. I think it's in the Freebooters book, How to
Yeah.
Make Buildings. So yeah, I've got no excuses. I've got the templates there. I can use those. I've got really good visual samples from the second edition book and all that kind of thing, and people on here doing stuff. So I should really pull my finger out at some stage and start making some orc buildings at a pool. After our last battle, I need to do that. So we've got nice orc versus imperial buildings on the
I
table.
think I've got enough to fill a small, like 6x4 now
Yep.
with orc stuff, but I need to do some cactuses as per your video.
Yes, you got to have cactuses on a second edition table, that's for sure.
Yeah. Especially with those Adobe huts and stuff.
Yeah.
Rogue Trader. We added a Rogue Trader section in the tabletop games, and you've got people like Moody who are bringing out his Genestealer cult models that he's amassed over the years. And he's going to do like a Cowabunga challenge, Genestealer cult army. So I helped him out by getting him some arms and stuff so that he could sort of pad out his existing lead miniatures. Because the arms and the weapons are probably the hardest thing to come by these days. And people on eBay are charging ridiculous prices, anywhere from like 30 to 60 USD for like blister packs of arms and weapons. Just
Right.
fuck off.
Crazy.
So yeah, if you're lucky and you've got files or you find files on like Cults 3D, you can print out like real classic arms for Space Marines and other goobery creatures.
Actually,
Or you can just get a 3D artist to knock some up for you. I found some like fairly cheap ones locally.
that reminds me too, because me and Paul were going to do a Rogue Trader game for the first time, and I don't know how his White Scars are going because there's a work in progress one of that. I don't know if he's finished the squad, but he had like the old Rogue Trader beaky plastic Marines. He was putting
Yes.
painting those, and so yeah, I need to ask Paul about that, whether we can do one for the channel at some point. Do like a dry run, like just play one game, and then after that maybe film it.
Yeah, I see his in that Rogue Trader part of the Discord, if you scroll right up the top, you can see his the old green plastic multi-parts, and he's put like little custom weapons and stuff in there.
He's put some modern weapons, like he's got one with a heavy flamer, it looks like, with a flamer, I should say, not a heavy flamer. So yeah, he's got some bits and pieces on there to use in second edition also. And I think we're going to use the is it the compilation rules where they basically progress the hand-to-hand combat and some other rules as well for the game to make it more in line with what second edition was going to be, I think. So we're going to sort of play it like that. I think that's probably more the way we're going to go with Rogue Trader. But yeah, it's very interesting. The more I looked at Rogue Trader, the more a little bit crunchier it is, like with the Eldar, you got to roll on these charts and see what kind of things they get equipped with, and they've got slightly like obviously the rules are based on second edition how they sort of evolved, but it's really nice to see how things all started, especially with the orcs and that kind of thing. It's really, and also too, and you probably noticed that, but there's something pretty exciting in the Heavy Lead Painting Channel, because Heavy Lead Painting Channel is probably the most active. I think with most people, they're posting things, they're painting and working on. But Highland Painting has got a commission from a guy in Scotland making the classic, like cemetery and the, like a crypt kind of thing, that he's doing.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's amazing. Yeah. So I don't know whether he's 3D printing some of the parts, like the door and the, I think they're like little skeletal familiars around the top of the, the crypt there, supporting the roof and that kind of stuff. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's really exciting to see that come along. So,
Yeah.
and shout out to Ben. Congratulations on getting some more of those yellow-bellied, what do you call them? Not slam,
Land
lizardmen.
lizard man.
I keep wanting to call them slan and then call the slan the lizardmen. I don't know why. It's sort of gone around in my head. But yeah, he's got quite a lot painted now, which is great to see.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of 3D printed stuff to make like classic looking terrain. It's a real asset, and you can stretch and change dimensions and stuff. Based on the initial model. So if you find it's like too small or whatever, you can just modify its dimensions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so some very, very cool stuff that's, it's quite active, which is great to see. We've got a made to order, which was the Warhammer Old World channel, but it looks like so many people are posting up things about they're so excited about what's coming out with the mail to order, more so than the actual game itself, which is great. So we've got people like Oldhammer, Mad Bry ordering all the Bretonnian models that came out recently, which is great because they're really nice models, and I think a lot of people are excited about that more so than the actual new rule set coming out.
Yes. That's pretty cool. The game already seems to have its gripes and things like that, which is fine, but getting people excited about old miniatures is like what we're interested in.
For sure.
So yeah, I think it's initially it was a place on the Discord that you could post pictures of feet of miniatures because you've got like a sick fetish, but now it's just about your made to order stuff for the old world.
That's really good. Okay, so
Had
looking
to
at,
contain it, you know,
yeah.
you can't just let that sort of stuff leaking all over the Discord.
But also the second edition 40K section has been pretty active always, as well as the Warhammer fourth and fifth edition channel. So people are posting up their lists or inquiries about different things. We had talk about the Geensler Cult Army, of course, when Paul was preparing his army for the battle report we just filmed. So about army composition, how things were arranged, and got some advice from lots of people online. And Chris has as well as been painting up his Eldar fire dragons, if I remember that correctly. They're Aspect warriors, and testing out color schemes, and they're looking really, really nice. I know
He's a really good painter.
Yeah, I know he's really, really hard on himself, but I said, that's one of the virtues of becoming better at something. Is becoming really hard on yourself personally, and then you'll get better with each attempt. So, but I think they're looking really, really nice so far, the ones he's done.
Yeah, I got two different waves of orc miniatures. They're both different sets of Kev Adams sculpts. Some are these like they're space orcs that were done as a Kickstarter, the freebooters, and then there's a whole bunch of space goblins, which are Kev Adams sculpts by Badger Games, and Badger Games is bringing out some Kev Adams space orcs as well, and they're perfect size for second edition and Rogue Trader style orcs, whereas I found the Nightmare Miniatures ones were fantastic, but they were gigantic and more in line with modern orcs. So these Badger Games and this Kickstarter for, I think the Badger Games ones are called like Cosmos Orcs. Yeah, so you've always got to keep an eye on the third parties that are doing stuff where a original Games Workshop Old Hammer sculptor is releasing a line through them because They're incredible. They're basically what you would have seen in the pictures of the books and the
Yes.
metal.
Yeah, and the metal too, which is great to see, isn't it? So yeah, they're probably the most active channels, I'd say, in the Discord at the moment. And of course the buy trade evaluation section as well, and the post and pat parcels, what people are getting in the mail, which is always nice and exciting to see. And
There was too many people talking about BattleTech, so I decided to create a BattleTech section under the board games because most of us have played, play, or are looking to play BattleTech at some stage. So it came out in the 80s, and it's persisted ever since. So it gets its little place if you want to talk about giant robots hitting each other or attempting to hitting each other for 6 hours.
yeah, never played it, but yeah, I can see why. I see there's a big following for it, and I know, is it Catalyst Games who released a new set of rules for it or something like that last
I'm
week?
not a fan of Catalyst Games, but whatever keeps the game going, I guess you gotta, even if they can be unscrupulous at times, they've released a whole new range of like plastics, which are much better than the Iron Wind miniatures, in my opinion, but they are still crap when you compare them to the original Ralpatha like Unseen line or the really old line. I love those ancient Ralpatha miniatures are great.
Okay, maybe we can ask somebody in the community to come on to talk about BattleTech at some stage.
There's a few mad BattleTech guys out there like Dave.
Yeah, ask Dave if he wants to come back on, because Dave was my very first guest on the Crane & Command podcast. So that was episode one. I think he came on to talk about his Wood Elves. So that's going back a long time, and I know that May the 4th, I'm pretty sure it's May the 4th or May the 5th, is the anniversary of the podcast. So this year will be
Oh, that's funny.
4 years.
Bloody Star Wars
Yeah. No, we're just it like I'm not a Star Wars,
nerd.
I like Star Wars, but I'm not all that into Star Wars. But yeah, for whatever reason, it just fell on those on that date. And I think it was me and Justin who did the very first one together. And I think, yeah, and Dave was definitely the first guest talking about Wood Elves and Warhammer Fantasy 5th edition.
Bloody Wood Elves.
So it'd be great as an, and then just think about that, it'd be great as an fourth year anniversary. I think it's the 4th year. Could be the 3rd year. I can't remember. No, I started in 2020. So this is the 4th year. So it'd be great to have Dave back and talking about BattleTech. I think that's a good one. We'll have to sort that out if he's willing. So
That would be awesome. If you can snag him, is he gone?
yes, he is. I mean, lots changed since then, I think. But it'd be good to have him back on again, because Dave's the guy behind the Discord. He created the Discord for us, and before I even know what Discord was. So
Awesome.
thanks to Dave, we've got a really great community here. So that's excellent. All right, buddy. I think we'll wrap up our community section now, unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about at all.
Nah, just keep it coming, guys. Like whatever picture it is, just upload it. We want to see it.
Yeah, of course, there's loads more that we haven't covered in our community chat, but then you can always check out the live stream on the Crane & Command Games channel. That'll be every week. I'm trying to do it every week. And in that, there'll be like a Glorious Bastard section where I choose, some pictures of some great work in the community, whether it be painting, modeling, maybe gaming. The first one we did like 40K with Garth at Garth's Workshop. And the second one last week with Johnny Watson, I did like a fantasy one because I know he just picked up the old world rules and he's building his own Bretonian army. So I don't know what'll be this week. I'll need to go through and have a look. Maybe some gaming ones related because I've got the Bring and Battle guys, Richard and Jace, and the guy behind Nostalgia Hammer as well. His name is Danny. And I forget, I almost forgot your name, Danny. Sorry about that. So Danny's joining us as well. So it'll be like a foursome on that live stream. So you can always catch that up and see what Glorious Bastards will be presenting.
Live on Chatterbait.
That's right, live on Chatterbait. Sorry,
What I
pardon.
was gonna say is, if you're really lucky, you'll be able to catch like Chris Snyder hosting games of like 40K and stuff on the Discord itself, and they just basically set up some cameras and roll dice. It's pretty fun.
Yes, they snuck in a couple of interviews too, because the Matthew McLean from Bedroom Battlefields,
Oh,
he
that's
actually
awesome.
interviewed Cameron and interviewed Chris about remote gaming and Man of War, which is really cool. I listened to those this week and I had no idea they'd had done that. So,
Yeah, Chris is an expert on Manowar.
both of those guys are really into Man of War. So, and they are the host of many a remote game of Man of War. So if you're interested in learning about Man of War, Chris is always, and I think Cameron is always up for hosting games of that on our Discord. So you can always get in touch with them and say, hey, can you please run me through like a demo game? And they'll be more than happy to do that for you. So yeah, just jump into the remote gaming section on our Discord and just put your interest in there to say, yeah, please select me next time for the next remote game and they'll set it up for you. So, all right, mate. Well, let's take a departure from here, from our community, and let's jump into the Gene Stealer cults.
Yep.
So,
So, yeah, early 90s, tricked into playing Warhammer 40K because a friend of a friend infected him by showing him like tabletop wargaming books. I went over to a mate's house, flicked through the Codex Imperialis and saw models like the Screamer Killer and Corandras and sort of a whole new little world opened up in my brain. It's like a horrible nostalgia effect, really bizarre, like disconnection. And went into a Games Workshop to buy like the main box set and a couple of blisters. And the first blisters I bought were like a Magus and some hybrids and the Running Patriarch. And I didn't even know what armies and stuff I wanted to play. I just bought them because they looked cool. And unfortunately, like the only sort of exposure I had to Gene Stealer cult sort of stuff was actually in the beginning, Space Crusade had the Gene Stealer in it, had no idea what it was or its background. And then later on, when you started reading 40K and reading about Gene Stealers and things like that, it's pretty interesting. But I missed all of the Rogue Trader stuff as a kid. I started reading that much, much later as a teen when an older person like showed me the books, and they were a lot more fleshed out, it seems, in Rogue Trader, and they sort of got a little addendum in the they were in the Black Codex as part of the all-round Tyranid force, like Gene Stealer cult and Tyranids sort of work together. But then when the Codex came out, they made Gene Stealer cult like a separate entity. I'm sure I'm boring people by telling them what they already know. But the interesting thing was, like in the second ed, that was completely separate from Tyranid Force. They were hyper focused on having lots of squads because the breakdown of percentages were like 50% characters, a quarter or more can be spent on broods, and you only get 25% to spend on support. So, as an army breakdown, you'd probably have at least the Gene Stealer Patriarch, a Magus and a Banner Bearer. And then you can take like hybrids. Up to 50% of your army could be hybrids, and the hybrids themselves can have like little psychers and stuff within those squads. So you could really spam psychics on the battlefield with this army. The broods themselves, like the heaviest part of that should be Brood Brothers, in my opinion. They're just little Imperial Guardsmen with hatred. They all have hatred, which is really, really fun. Gives them a bit of staying power, gives you a bit of firepower as well. The Magus, if the Magus and the Patriarch both die, your whole army has to test to see if they go crazy and become frenzied or they just disappear and run off the board. So anyone facing them, your focus is to kill those two models. You don't have to take both of those models, but that just makes the enemy's job easier. Your hybrids have really bad ballistic skill. They're decent in combat for like little foot troops and stuff. But I found that the funniest thing to do with them is stick them in like a rhino or a chimera and give them a whole bunch of flamers. And I got some proxy limousines, gin silicate limousines off like a Ukrainian spin resin group. If you basically Google gin silicate limousine in resin, it'll come up. And they do all these fantastic vehicles. They do gin silicate ones, they do sort of Judge Dredd style stuff, they do Sisters of Battle vehicles. Some of them are quite modular, very, very fun. And you can just proxy the limo as a rhino or a chimera, whatever floats your boat. And yeah, just stick some hybrids with some flamers in there and get them to depart at the end of its turn and flamethrower an entire squad. It's very funny. And then if you survive the next round, hopefully you get to charge some people who are on fire and rolling around on the ground. The biggest sort of contentious thing I think is spending points on a Gene Stealer squad. Like, if you don't have Gene Stealers, is it really a hybrid army? I say yes. But they're 28 points per model. They can be broken. They are immune to psychology. They do cause fear, but they're glass cannons. If you get them into combat, usually whatever they touch dies. You've got multiple ways to try and get them into combat, running them from terrain piece to terrain piece, charging them up in a vehicle, which is very risky because if that vehicle blows up, it can kill all of them instantly. You can't charge out of a vehicle if it did a move because the charges are declared first and then you move the vehicle. So you could be stuck in no man's land, or you could use some psychic powers like displacement or the gate to sneakily get your gene stealers right into combat, and that's pretty scary. So the enemy's going to be watching out for the gene stealers, going on Overwatch and trying to shoot them if they come near them because they're worth a lot of points and they're deadly in combat. They'll even handily destroy most tanks and stuff too. They got strength 7. Support wise, because Gene Stealer Cult have pretty bad ballistic skill, Brood Brothers have B skill 3, hybrids 2. I would say the best support weapons are things like mole mortars, where you're not rolling to hit, you're rolling to see what happens instead. You pick a target, roll to see what happens. If you're going to take a tank, I would always say the Hellhound because I'm a cheesy bastard. The Hellhound's cheap, it's got a devastating weapon. It's very annoying. If you're going to take a Lehman Russ, maybe just buy the Lehman with just the battle cannon on it and a heavy bolter at the front or a heavy flamer at the front. You don't have much points to spend on support, so don't dream big. The big difference with Gene Stealer Cult and the Mole Mortar is hybrids or the Magus can be a spotter. That makes the Mole Mortar such a great sort of tactical weapon. It makes it a bit more flexible. Taking Sentinels with assault cannons on them are fun. If you manage to hit, whatever you hit might be shredded to pieces for a very low cost on your end for Sentinels. They can move fairly quick too. But yeah, everything's really shaky and sort of like you're going to be relying on your psychics and sneaky little things to try and crush the enemy. Don't see it as a list that you could sort of power game with. It's just a little addendum in a codex. So I've had fun playing them against like Eldar. I had them played against my Chaos. It's a very mixed bag. And if you are going to take a very heavy side psychics, you need to decide whether or not you're going to do just two dice six for the warp cards, or you're going to add a d6 for every single psyker on the table. If you do that, Dark Millennium recommends you use two decks of warp cards. You might need to do that if you're taking like six or more psykers because you're shuffling through the whole deck each time. Demonic Attack is going to be picking off all the low level psykers. It's very funny. You're seeing him getting dragged off into the warp every 5 seconds. And the Gene Stealer psykers, they can take some Tyranid psychics, or they can take the Adeptus psychic. So you can get all these really silly fun powers like scan, which you can look at your opponent's like card hand and stuff like that. You can also get really devastating ones like Lightning Arc. But yeah, Displacement and Negate are the two that you really need to be careful of. And then a Psychic Scream, if you're versing Genesila Cult and you have a Psyker, there's potential for the Patriarch to buy Psychic Scream and then the Magus to randomly draw that as well if he's drawing from the Hive, like the Tyranid Psychic deck. So Tyranids and Genesila Cult are one of those teams where the same psychic can show up twice on a force, whereas with some other army, that's never going to happen. And this is because the Hive Tyrant and the Genesila Patriarch can purchase psychic powers, and it was checked and agreed to as well by, I think, the FAQ and also Andy Chambers recently on the Second Ed Facebook page.
Nice,
Well,
mate.
how did you find playing against them, Josh?
I really enjoyed it because I was always curious about the Genesila Cult, and I just found them just more interesting, maybe, than just like the pure Tyranid list. So I think my fascination came from seeing them pictured in a US Golden Demon entry. Now, this is back in probably 91 or 92 or something like that. But yeah, seeing all like the Beastmen, and this is like Rogue Trader, not the second edition list, but they must have had access to like Beastmen or something like that. But
Yeah, they could worship chaos. You could mix them in with Beastmen, so you could have Genesila Cult of Khorne, you know. Like it was Moody would be the one to talk to about that, but like you would have seen the throne that you painted for the Patriarch sitting has a huge chaos symbol under it.
yes, that's right. It does
Yeah.
too. Yep.
Because he worships like chaos gods. So a lot of those old pictures you see, you'd see the Genesila Cult guys have got a Khorne symbol on the Genesila Cult symbol.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, like that picture really fascinated because like the way he painted it, they were really, really nicely done, and it just sort of captured my imagination just seeing that particular photo, and. Yeah, I was always curious about them. I've never faced them on a tabletop until I got to paint your army through Everglade Studios, and thank you for that. But had lots of great hybrids like Bob Ollie designs. Had some nice that classic Jess Goodwin Magus, the famous one that's pictured in the 40K Rogue Trader book, and I think Dark Millennium. I think he's in there as well. And I wanted to really replicate that whole style of Mike McVeigh with the blue, sort of. Blue like trench coat thing that he's wearing, and the flame design on one side and the whole the logo of the Genesila Cult on the other. So yeah, classic models that I've admired for a long time that I got to paint, which is great. And then seeing them on the tabletop, yeah, they can be really versatile in that you have the shock troops or the Genestealers. They're like just this ever-present threat that you think they can just charge down and run you down unless you're not behind, like, even if behind cover, if you're not on Overwatch. I had Marines for that particular battle report, but yeah, I'm just thinking, wow, once they get in hand-to-hand combat, they're just going to tear me to shreds. It doesn't matter if I've got 2 meter armor or power armor, it doesn't matter. And then I've got them, the Brood Brothers, firing their missile launchers, and I've got the Sentinel with an assault cannon. So, and then I've got all the psychics to worry about. So, they bring a combination of things that are really different. That I would feel than playing just regular Gene Stealers. Sorry, regular Tyranids.
Yeah, they're pretty interesting. Quite goofy. Many a time I've been in a situation where I'm playing against them, and if the psychics or the gamble pays off and the Genestealer squad was like delivered into my army, I would have lost at that point. As there's a lot of situations like that. Dealing with an actual squad of Genestealers that get into combat is not fun, unless you've got like a Space Marine character with like two parries and things like that, or you're willing to use the heavy flamer on your own guys. You're gonna have to make some big sacrifices.
Yeah.
They are, yeah, really irritating.
But I can see the versatility also with taking guard like you said, guard vehicles. It unlocks that as well for them. So, they can be potentially very dangerous psychically. They can be very dangerous in terms of hand-to-hand combat. And then they've got the support weapons as well, like the Mole Mortar. I saw the Mole Mortar for the first time in our battle report. Wow, what a wacky weapon that is, but it can do some really devastating things.
Yeah,
So,
potentially it could have blown that bunker up first, so.
really interesting. I find, and I think Paul felt the same. Like he always was very curious about them, and he was excited to play them for the first time. And for me, if I had a choice, because I'm not a big Tyranid fan. I like the color schemes. I like some of the models, but I think I'll definitely go with the Genesis Cold Army over the regular pure strain, Tyranids. I just find them just more thematically interesting. I think they were featured in a lot of the early Warhammer novels as well. And I just like that whole concept. Even Space Hulk, I never got to play Deathwing or Genestealer, but the concept of having hybrids with weapons and them being more of an aerial threat rather than just a close combat threat, just seems interesting to me. And they had like different strains, and like you had like g different generations of hybrids, and they looked differently. The color schemes are different, and it got me to it. I had the chance of painting some camo on their pants and stuff like that, so I had like these fatigues on them, and yeah, it was really cool as a project to paint. It was really interesting, and of course the big guy, the Patriarch. I mean, he's just this classic, iconic model from Rogue Trader. So to paint him was really cool too. The big papa on the throne, and and of course Bob Ollie. He's just his name is synonymous with hybrids and his style, and all the ribbing and that kind of thing on their armor. He had just had that the way of sculpting miniatures that really fitted those design principles, I think, for the army as well. So yeah, mate, yeah, it was really cool.
Yep, love your work.
Thank you, sir. They'll be coming back to you very soon. So I'll be in the process of getting those prepared and ready to ship back to Australia for you.
Hopefully, I'll get
So
to play with them.
yeah, hopefully. If you're not working all the time, you get to get to meet up with the guys and play. But look, we'll just take a short ad break, and then we'll come back to wrap up the show. If you are enjoying this podcast and the content on the Crown of Command Games YouTube channel, then please consider supporting me on Patreon. Becoming a Storm Boy allows you access to behind-the-scenes news, information on upcoming podcast guests and themes, video battle reports, and occasionally exclusive podcasts with special guests or fellow patrons. And coming soon are painting videos, which we made to give you the skills and tips on painting in the Red Period using modern paints and practical applications. And you can also access one-to-one painting lessons in the Heavy Lead Masterclass tier for a 40-minute personalized painting lesson. So check out patreon.com/the Crown of Command podcast. Have you always dreamed of having your old Games Workshop armies professionally painted in the style of the White Dwarf battle reports of the 1990s? Well, let me introduce you to Heavy Lead Painting Studios Japan. As a professional painter with over 30 years' experience and having a short stint working at the Games Workshop Nottingham studio as a miniature painter in the mid-1990s, I now work as a full-time professional miniature painter, having the joy to turn your old love metal and plastic miniatures into life with saturated color and, of course, with goblin green bases. For inquiries, please contact me via email at evyled@gmail.com. That's EAVYLEAD@gmail.com. And please check out the links in the show description for my Facebook gallery page. And I hope to hear from you soon to start your dream project. Mate, I want to ask you about your experiences of playing them. Like, do you have any sort of memories, good memories of playing the Genestealer Cult with your opponents there in Sydney?
I would say not in second edition. In second edition, the memories of using them were from when it was just like a black and white codex, and those memories are me just getting my ass kicked by Brandy Dog, doing things like getting a Warp Spider Exarch to warp into the middle of my army, throw a vortex grenade at the Carnifex, and yeah, like game over kind of thing. So, I've been playing with them recently and always finding, like, after I do the calculation of the army that I cheated, like there was too many points in supports and things like that. So I've got to be really, really careful when calculating the lists. I was using this program to do it, and it's kind of fucked up because it, I won't mention which one it is, but it'll list the points for it and all that sort of stuff on the list. When you add the points up manually, it didn't actually add the points in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's just a bug or something like that, but
Sounds like it.
I shouldn't criticize it too much because it's like it's a fairly useful tool, but it's buggy. So I probably have to give feedback to the guy who's working on the second ed lists for that program because the program does like so many different ones.
Oh, I think this is the program that I cannot use. I've just tried it so many times and it just breaks my brain. I just cannot get
Yeah, loading in the files was just
just
but
a nightmare.
my I would say if you're gonna use like my idea to use Gene Stealer Cult is more like using them as a like a story driver or something like that because I want to do I've got this fanciful idea to do this campaign where it'll be like Orcs versus Imperials and then like a third sort of enemy is added to it which is the Gene Stealer Cult and depending on how either the Orc or the Imperial Guard player go, that side will evolve into a Gene Stealer Cult version of itself.
Right.
And it'll culminate with a. I made a custom board out of like Necromunda tiles that's the inside of a spaceship. And I've got heaps of like Zone Mortalis walls and blah, blah, blah. And even like a 3D painted, 3D printed Space Crusade interior to use to make a giant inside of a spaceship. And then the last sort of iteration of that campaign will be whatever force is left infiltrating the crash spaceship to kill the Patriarch.
Right, okay, interesting.
Yeah, it'll take ages to do. The board itself is done. The walls and towers and columns need work. And I need to finish painting up all my snake bites. I've got a
Right, okay.
huge like snake bite army now. For orcs, so.
Awesome, awesome. Sounds good, mate. Sounds like you're keeping yourself busy.
Oh, yeah, trying to.
Interesting.
In between work, it's very hard. But
Yeah.
yeah, I would say if you're going to use Gene Stealer Cult, you need to go in with the mindset that you need to have fun and try and pull off some sneaky, horrible things and not worry. Like, don't focus too much on winning, more focus on annoying.
Yeah, well, if you want to experience Gene Stealer Cult firsthand, you can check out the Chrono Command Games YouTube channel and watch the battle report that I uploaded yesterday. This is kind of different. We're taking a different approach because I said to Paul before we started filming, I said, well, I want to try doing it like Ed at Minisodes, his kind of narrative style. And
Yep, looks
Paul
good.
was quite excited about doing that, I think. And I think going by the comments so far, it seems to be very, very positive. So that's really good because it's more focused on the miniatures rather than the actual gameplay. So you just get to hear my Aussie accent in the background talking about the Gene Stealers and the Space Marines. I was playing Zane's Blood Angels, which is a beautiful looking army. I'm really happy to have painted that as well. And painting lots of red and black and that kind of thing. For some Rogue Trader and second edition Marines. But yeah, just seeing them on the tabletop, if you want to check out, they're maybe some, certainly for the aesthetics, like looking at the models themselves, check that out. But apart from that, if someone was going to try to start, now this is going to be the hardest thing for them, if they wanted to play Gene Stealer Cults, but obviously, we're not living in the 90s. We can't go down to the Games Workshop and buy the old medals and stuff like that. Would you give some kind of tips on how people could collect?
So you want to join the Old Hammer trading groups on Facebook for your local country and or like continent and just worldwide one because If you try to buy Ginsilla hybrids and stuff off eBay, you're gonna encounter insane inflated eBay prices. There's also people like Jason Lai, who runs hybrid miniatures on Facebook. He does third party sculpts, and some of them were actual Bob Ollie sculpts and stuff too. And some are very similar to unreleased models as well. Then there's a few others like L72 Miniature Musings. He has like Adam Frank sculpts and stuff of hybrids as well. So there's third parties. Depending on your morals or ethics, you might be able to find a recaster that does some. You travel down your own path to do that, and like beware. That's all I can say. But yeah, there's trade groups are going to be your best bet, because hopefully you'll get something at a decent price.
Yeah, like one thing I'll say, because when we played just before we started playing the game the other day with Paul, like I was surprised how like few models he had. I was expecting like this massive swarm. We played a 1200 point game, by the way, and that wasn't really stated in the battle report we played, but but I was surprised. I thought, wow, I thought you're going to take everything. I thought you're going to take like two Sentinels and like all the hybrids and all the gene stealers. No, like that, that's not what it came to. So realistically, you're not looking at a huge amount of models, because he took two groups of six gene stealers. He took five neophytes, which are basically the hybrid guys. Then he took, I think, 20 of the Brood Brothers, two groups of 10, one support weapon, which was the Mole Mortar, one Sentinel, one Patriarch, and one Magus, and two Acolytes. So it's not a massive amount of models. So if you can find like printing options, like 3D printing options of the old models that have, I don't know, it's a bit contentious, but either modeled in the same way or scanned from the original models. I know that's a very contentious thing, and maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but there are means and ways of getting the old aesthetics of the models through A, and I should always say that first, try to find like a legitimate, reputable, small company, cottage industry type of company that actually makes these things. I think Bob Ollie is still around and is still making models, either for squats or for like these kind of hybrid type models. So you can find them. And like with Carnifex's order, he sent me a couple of Confrontation Cadwellan dwarves for his hybrid flamethrower guys, which work perfectly aesthetically. I think they're great. They've got these big bulbous heads, they've got little bodies. And yeah, when I painted them, I thought they fitted in really nice. And also, Carnifex has some of Wereweevil models, I think they're called swarfs or whatever, which are basically squats. And he's using those as some of the weapon screws, because he's got some, not mole mortars. What are they? Mortars?
Yeah,
Just
more
regular
mortars.
mortars? Are mole mortars?
Yeah.
What are the other ones called again? Mortars, aren't they?
There's the Imperial Guard Brood Brothers. They've got normal mortars,
Right.
and then Marcus's sculpts, which are those like classic sort of swarf squat guys. They're mole mortars, and
Right,
they're
they got more
fantastic.
orders.
I
Okay.
couldn't pass them up.
And because you've got different kind of races, so it's not just all
Yeah,
human
it's all
races.
diverse.
Yeah, all diverse, So I think they just fitted in perfectly. It doesn't really detract away from the theme of the Gene Stealer Cult Army at all. So you could look at alternative things like that. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could theme your army about, this genetically altered squat army, and have all these kind of squat guys, or just squads of them, and then have another group which are like beastmen, but they just fit the same profile as the Brood Brothers. I mean, you could
Yeah,
really go to
there's
town.
you could, if your opponent agreed to it, take beastmen as allies, chaos allies. You can do that, because I like the look of beastmen and Ginsilla cult together. Some people just make them brood brothers, as you mentioned, but you could take real brood, real allies as beastmen. But just make sure your opponent agrees to it, because I think there is a bit of like screwery with the allies. The thing about allies is you don't have to worry about all of the sort of like purchase formation charts and stuff when buying allies. So normally, if you want to take Beastmen in a Lost in the Damned army, you must take like a squad of cultists, but you could forego that by using them as allies. But then I have to remember that allies are coming out of your support section, so you're just eating up more of that tiny little queue. But yeah, you're better off just taking them as Brood Brothers, in my opinion. The other option is you buy the new Genestealer Cult models. They are nice sculpts. Unfortunately, they suffer from that whole like the assembly can only be done certain ways kind of thing, so you got to pay attention when you're assembling them. Their bases are a lot larger, like the hybrids are on the 32 millimeter bases or something, so that's a bit silly. You might have to do some base swappery if you really want to drop back to the 20-25 mil standard of second ed. But I don't think anyone's going to care. The only thing that the base does is it can screw you up for blast markers, and it can screw you up for getting people in base-to-base contact in combat and against like template weapons and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I don't believe anyone should poo-poo you using modern miniatures in an old rule set, because you're there to have fun, not like, yeah, some people, for them, it's all aesthetics and things like that, but are you really going to stop a player from playing just because they've got modern miniatures? I don't think so. You can also paint them in old school, and they'll look good too.
I was talking to the guys from the Build Paint Play. Well, it's a Facebook group and it's a live stream. I was on their live stream a couple of weeks ago, or I should say a week ago actually from yesterday. But yeah, the guy Jake was telling me that because he runs a store in the US, that one of the younger customers he has is painting all of his, I think, Ultramarines in the second edition Codex colors, so Goblin Green bases and all the Ultramarine color, really bright blues and like reds and stuff like that on the helmets for the Devastators and what have you. And I thought that's so cool. You should take photos and show me. He said, "Yeah, I'll definitely do that." So whenever he comes to the tournament, he brings this army along, and it's so cool to have, you know, some of the younger guys interested in the older color schemes, you know. And it keeps
That's
coming
cool.
up a lot. Like I see a lot of younger guys who are coming into the hobby, maybe from third edition, sort of going back into Rogue Trader or second edition and finding the aesthetical qualities about those armies or the paint jobs just more interesting, or they're just more curious about it. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you want to do modern stuff, like, and it's a good point, kind of fix, it's a good shout out that the new Genestealer Cult set, well, it's not new, it's been out for a good 5 years or so now. But they did come back in ninth edition. Is it ninth edition or eighth edition they came back in?
Seventh, I think.
Seventh edition, that far back. Wow, there's been a few since
But
then.
they sort of like gave them a bit of a relaunch, not long ago, kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
So
Well,
yeah.
there you go. Yeah. So you got some good alternatives. And I actually painted some of those for you too, some of the modern ones. And they're nice models. So yeah. So you've got quite a few different alternatives there already if you did want to start Genestealer Cult. And yes, anything else you can think about? Do you want to talk about the mate at all?
No, I think it's good to read like a lot of fluff on them. They sort of started out with not much lore and then got fleshed out a bit later into sort of weird sort of space communist cult guys. And there's a few cool, really cool short stories about that. And even one of those little crappy animations Games Workshop put out, the Bolter and whatever. That was a decent animation about like some people trying to get off world during a Tyranid attack.
You know what we
So
should do? You know we should do Carnifex. I should ask Paul to bring his death, like his Dark Angel stuff over. We should run your Genestealers down, thinking about your Genestealer cult against the Deathwing. That's something we've got to see. I think that'll be good.
Awesome.
All right, buddy. Well, look, I won't take up any more of your time. Thanks again for your wise words of wisdom on the genes of the cult and everything related to that. So it gives people some inspiration or gives them some guidance as to where they should go if they want to start up the genes of the cult army. So thanks again, buddy.
No worries, always a pleasure.
All right, buddy. So we'll bring you back again when we need some more 40K wisdom from you, buddy. Okay.
All right, see you around.
Until then, take care, and thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Bye bye, take care.